Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel chapter 31. I'm going to read you two different sections, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then down in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is our text. Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are all Lutherans, and you know, just as I do, that the one thing Lutherans don't like is change. It probably comes as no surprise that one of the most heated voters' meetings ever held here at Trinity, Heiner can attest to this, was when they discussed changing from the Lutheran hymnal, known as TLH, to Lutheran worship. Fortunately, that change came long before I got here. But I do know that several families left Trinity and went to another church because of that change. We all know that Lutherans love, love, love to sit in the same pew each and every week. And it doesn't matter if you've missed for a whole month. If you come back and somebody's sitting in your pew, oh, there's trouble. If there's going to be change in the worship style, times of worship, times for meetings, or just about anything else, there better be lots of discussion and communication beforehand, because Lutherans just don't like change. Well, that text today from Ezekiel, it's all about change. As our text begins, we find Ezekiel with the Lord's hand upon him, and the Lord brings him out in the spirit of the Lord and sets him down in the middle of a valley, and it is full of bones. Oh, wrong one. There we go. What's interesting about this text is that Ezekiel isn't just given a vision where he sits back on his couch and watches what takes place before him, but Ezekiel actually participates in the vision. The Lord sets him in the valley of bones, and he walks around them. The text says, and he led me around among them. And later, he talks to the dry bones as he is directed by God. And those bones, they actually respond. And so, while yes, this is a vision, it's more than a vision, because Ezekiel participates with the object of the vision, those bones. He not only sees the valley of bones, but when they come together, he hears the rattling of the bones, and he sees the sinews and the flesh and the skin come upon them, and finally, he sees them standing alive as this great, big, vast army. And that's when later comes in our text. Once Ezekiel gets a good sense of what's going on in this valley, and once he sees all these dead, dry bones, he makes remark that they are very dry. And then, and only then, does God ask the question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, if I were to ask you that question, can these bones live, you would probably burst out in laughter. Because, of course, dry bones cannot come to life. I'm having trouble with this thing today. There we go. Most of you know that I got three dogs. And one of their favorite things to do is to munch on those femur bones that we get at Danny's Meats on a regular basis. And if you were to come to my house unannounced, just about at any time, chances are you're going to find five or six of those bones, those dead, dry femur bones, laying on the floor of our house. But never once have I worried about coming downstairs to the living room to finding a living, breathing cow in my living room. I never expected those bones to live again. On the other hand, because it's God asking this question, Son of Man, can these bones live? Then you have to open up your mind to the possibility of that actually happening. And Ezekiel's answer is perfect. O Lord God, you know. You see, since Ezekiel came after them, he would have heard about the miracles performed by Elijah and Elisha. He would have heard about both of them raising people from the dead. And so he would have known that resurrection was a possibility. But the big difference between those two cases, those were newly dead people that Elijah and Elisha raised. These are dead, dry bones. We're not even talking about skeletons here, but these are detached bones. So surely, the only one who could raise them from the dead, the only one who could perform such a miracle, was the one true God. And he does. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy, and he prophesies to the bone, and they come together, and sinews come on them, and flesh comes on them, and skin comes on them. And then he prophesies to the wind, and he prophesies to the breath, and the formerly dead bones come to life. And they stand before him as an exceedingly great army. And so you see, this text is all about change. These dead dry bones are turned into an exceedingly great army by our God. But they were dead dry bones. They didn't become an army on their own. It was only through the word of God, as prophesied by Ezekiel, that change occurred. And it was not because Ezekiel was such a great prophet. He was just a spokesman. It was the power of God's word that instigated such a great change. You see, what God was trying to get through to Ezekiel? The Israelites were captive in Babylon. And they were as good as dead. But one day, God was promising that he would take them back to the promised land. You see, verse 13 and 14 at the end of our text, they really are the key. God says to Ezekiel, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you. And you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. It's going to be years and years down the road, but God is going to use his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, and he is going to free his people and move them back out of Babylon and back to Israel, and they will know that he is their God. God and his word was going to make a big, big change. The Israelites, they did nothing to free themselves. You got to understand that the Babylonians were not in the habit of letting their subjects just go free. They would move in and they would take over your land and they would bring the best of the best back to Babylon. And then when they got you there, they would assimilate you into all of the Babylonian culture. You would learn their language. You would dress like a Babylonian. You would eat Babylonian food. Basically, they would get rid of every single ounce of their old way of life. And so for 70 years, the Israelites lived as Babylonians. But God had a plan. God had a plan to bring them back to Israel and to rebuild their nation and to give them their life back again. And only God could accomplish such a miracle. They were dead in Babylon, but God gave them new life in Israel. Through the Holy Spirit, working in the Word and sacraments, God continues to make changes even today. God's Holy Spirit takes us, dead, dry bones, people who are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and enemies of God. And he washes us in holy baptism. And he cleanses us of our sins. And he makes us children of God. God changes us as drastically as we see him change those dead, dry bones into a vast, vast army. Using word and sacrament, God works miracles in our lives on a daily basis. God changes us from being dead in our sins to being alive in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, we may be Lutherans and we may not like change, but the reality is change is good. Because without change, we are destined to hell. But because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit working in God's word and the sacraments, we are changed and we are going to heaven. And it's all accomplished by God's word. Yesterday, we met as a board of elders and a couple extra people. And Pastor Ganey, at the end of the meeting, brought two scripture passages to mind as we were closing out that meeting, and I think they're very, very appropriate for us here today. The first passage is from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where St. Paul writes to Timothy, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And so you see that the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, equips us for everyday living, for everyday change, so that we are ready for every good work. And the second passage he brought up was Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, where God writes, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I send it." God's word succeeds in granting us salvation, and that is a big, big change. As I said before, we start out spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. We start out dead, dry bones, and we end up children of God and inheritors of eternal life. So while we may be Lutherans who sit in the same pew week after week after week, we have been changed by God's word and his sacraments. And we will continue to be changed by God's word until the day we die, and the day our Lord takes us up into heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.